Which of us can write the better video game adaptation?
Again.
This is Written By.
Yeah, this is our first follow-up rival pitch.
Yeah, so last season we wrote video game adaptations. You did
the Wii Sports movie.
And I did a Pokemon movie, like an evil Pokemon movie, which I still really love.
Yeah.
Both of those pitches. I don't know who goes first this week.
Oh, it's you this week.
Oh Lord. We get this establishing shot, super wide, a picturesque village nestled amidst rolling hills and lush forests. Ooh. Jump in when you think you've got it.
Okay.
Villagers are just going about their daily routines, and the atmosphere is very peaceful and serene.
I have ideas.
Anything you want to yell out? See if you can guess it.
Is it Animal Crossing?
Nope.
Okay.
Good guess, though.
Minecraft?
Yes, I wrote the Minecraft movie, not to be confused with the one that Jack Black is currently in.
Okay. Nice.
Steve, a rugged miner with a pickaxe slung over his shoulder, navigates through the bustling village with ease. He exchanges nods and waves with the villagers as he passes them. He arrives at his modest wooden shack at the end of the village, and with a familiar click, he unlocks the door and steps inside. We're inside Steve's shack. The interior is dimly lit by torches. You see the mining equipment lining the walls. There's a simple bed resting in the corner. Steve prepares for his adventure. He straps on his pickaxe. He surveys his map. He traces his planned route with his finger before slinging his pack over his shoulder. We cut to, we see the Minecraft landscape once again. We see Steve trekking through the vibrant landscape, whistling a tune to himself. He traverses rolling hills and dense forests with ease.
A lot of rolling hills in this.
It'll make sense later.
Okay. Do the hills in Minecraft roll?
No, they're blocks. Very, this will make sense later. Okay, suddenly, okay. He spots something unusual nested amidst the cluster of trees. He approaches it cautiously. Amongst the cluster of trees, Steve discovers a strange glowing portal pulsating with otherworldly energy. Okay. It's that purple one from the game. I don't know. You ever played Minecraft?
I have.
Yeah, me too. It's that purple one. He very curiously, overcoming the caution, he reaches out a hand and his fingertips tingle with anticipation. Mm-hmm. Remember, he doesn't have fingertips.
I was about to say.
His block.
His rectangle just
tingles with anticipation. And then Steve mutters to himself, this wasn't on the map. Without hesitation, Steve steps through the portal, disappearing into the unknown. The portal crackles with energy before fading into silence, leaving behind a sense of mystery. We cut to the other side of the portal. The portal crackles with energy as Steve steps through, disappearing into a swirling vortex of light. When he emerges, he finds himself in a desolate, barren realm. The sky is dull gray, and jagged mountains loom in the distance. The air is thick with an eerie silence. Where am I? A group of villagers, their faces etched with worry, approach Steve cautiously. You shouldn't be here, traveler. Our realm is dying. The land grows weaker with each passing day. Steve is very concerned. He's like, what happened? How can I help? There is an ancient prophecy foretelling of a savior who will restore balance to our realm. And Steve's eyes widen with realization. Then I'll do whatever it takes to fulfill that prophecy. Tell me what I must do. The villagers exchange hopeful glances. Their faith in Steve is evident. You must seek out the elemental artifacts scattered across the realm. Only then can you bring balance and save us all. Consider it done. With newfound purpose, Steve sets off towards the temple, determination burning bright in his eyes. We see Steve traversing across a rugged terrain, his eyes scanning the horizon for any sign of the elemental artifacts. The landscape is unforgiving with towering cliffs and deep ravines. All right, time to find those elemental artifacts and save this realm. Suddenly, a pack of hostile creatures emerge from the shadows, snarling and baring their teeth. Drawing his sword. Looks like I've got some company.
Did AI do this? Of course. Of course. You haven't even read this, have you? Wow.
So the jig is up. If you couldn't tell, I did not write this.
Chase forgot to do a pitch.
I did not forget.
Put this in ChatGPT tried to slide it by us.
You thought you could do
what that one David Desmalchin movie did, but nope. We caught on.
It's funny you bring up the devil. What is that movie called?
I don't know.
I do want to go see that.
Me too.
Late Night with the Devil. It's funny you bring that up because that did have something to do with this.
Okay,
so I wrote a Fortnite movie pitch. And then it wasn't working.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh man, what do I do? Because it was like 10 minutes before you got here. And I was like, I don't want to do this pitch. It was just one of those, like, it just wasn't anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I thought of the Late Night with the Devil, all the AI controversy. Yeah. And I was like, well, let's see. Let's see what would happen. Yeah.
See, I've read a lot of Chase's writing, and none of it is as verbose as that.
Yeah, dude, I don't talk about those rolling hills.
We're 3 episodes into this season, and you're already trying to use AI.
It was an experiment, man. My plan was, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. Yeah. My plan was I was going to get to the end.
Yeah.
And then I was going to, you know, have everybody vote. And then if mine won, I was going to like be like, in the outro, I was going to be like, it was written by AI. Kind of like how you did me that time. When you like looked up AI on how to beat me specifically.
Yeah, check out our AI episode from last season. But no, I asked AI how to have the competitive edge. And then I snuck in little details it told me to do. You just tried to replace your own writing entirely.
No, okay. No. Don't make it sound like I'm a bad guy. Okay? This is for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, this show is meant to be like, hey, we're prepping for when we're going to be in these actual pitch rooms, and this is us showing how we can have unique takes on property.
Hey, you're making me sound worse. Look, this show...
Hey, we were supposed to film this 2 days ago. You've had 2 extra days to do this.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I would like to finish my pitch now, if that's okay with you.
How much more of this Rolling Hills stuff do we have?
We're halfway through, and we haven't even gotten to the big battle.
Okay.
I mean, I can stop here. I didn't know using AI for entertainment purposes was cheating. If anything, it's put me at a huge disadvantage. Because what the fuck is this, dude? He said, the land grows weaker with each passing day. What happened? How can I help? Only then you can bring balance and save us all. Consider it done. Do you want me to finish it, or is it just I'm disqualified?
I mean, does it go anywhere?
I haven't read it. I don't know. That's why I was laughing so hard, dude. I got really embarrassed. Because I was like, oh no, they think I wrote this. No, I'm a much better writer than ChatGPT.
You know Steve doesn't have fingers.
Yeah, dude. His tingling fingers, dude. Oh, God. Oh, so am I disqualified, or do you want to hear the rest?
I mean, no one's going to vote for you, but you might as well.
How about I just skip to the big battle?
All right, let's do that.
Because he finds a friend at one point who's called Hermit.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he finds him. Okay. Final battlefield day. Steve and his allies, Alex and Hermit, stand at the ready, facing off against the Ender King amidst the ruins of an ancient battlefield. Dark clouds swirl overhead, crackling with energy. They've used crackling with energy a lot.
Yeah.
Steve.
It's like when you just learn a new word for the first time and you use it as many times as you can.
Yeah. Steve, clutching his sword. This is it. The final showdown. Alex. No arrows ready. We've come too far to let him win now. Hermit, gripping his staff. Together, we can fight him. The Ender King, his form wreathed in shadow, looms before them, his eyes burning with malice. Ender King, voice dripping with darkness.
Is dripping with darkness.
You may have destroyed my plan.
Okay, you know what I feel like? What? I feel like I signed up for the Wonka experience. And I came in with my children for a great time
at
the chocolate factory.
You got this?
Yeah.
How, I'm going to be real. I don't know if this is going to be too far off the new Minecraft movie.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. See. But anyway, dripping with darkness. You may have destroyed my plans, but you cannot defeat me. With a wave of his hand, the Ender King summons forth a wave of darkness, engulfing the battlefield in shadows. Steve, shielding his eyes. A lot of stage direction.
Yeah.
Shielding his eyes. Stay close. We need to stick together. They fight back against the darkness, their weapons clashing against the Ender King's minions. Alex, shooting arrows. Remember, he had none at the ready.
That's true.
We need to find a weakness. Hermit, casting spells. Keep him distracted. I'll see what I can do. As the battle reaches its climax, Steve notices a glimmer of light emanating from the ruins. The elemental artifacts! With a burst of determination, Steve charges towards the ruins, his allies close behind. Ender King, you cannot stop me! Steve reaches the elemental artifacts and grasps them tightly, their power surging through him, channeling its power. It's over, Ender King! You may be powerful, but you can't defeat the strength of friendship and courage! No! With the final burst of energy, the Ender King is vanquished, his form dissipating into the ether. Ether, we did it. We make a pretty good team. Indeed, the realm is safe once more. He's just Yoda now. Hermit is Yoda.
You know.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's You know, we're having a fun, silly time over here, but you know, in some studio, probably every single studio,
a script like this,
they're like, yeah, we're going to do something. I was listening to a podcast. It's about films that didn't get made.
Yeah.
These two people, they were doing a Philip K. Dick adaptation about an AI that kind of took over the world, how it changed the world. And they've been trying to get it sold for the longest time. It's the Total Recall guys.
Makes sense.
You know, the biggest Philip K. movie adaptation. They took it to the studio and it was like, hey, good news. They're interested. But you see, this studio, they use an algorithm. They put your script in an algorithm and the algorithm predicts if it's going to be successful and profitable or not. And they're like, okay, well, hopefully the algorithm likes our script or whatever. They wait a while and then they hear back. And it's like, actually, the studio can't produce the movie. You see, they ran out of money because the last script it said would be a success flopped.
Beat that, robber.
All right. let's see if a human writer could still stack up.
Good
to
luck.
AI. Now
there better be some rolling hills in this.
Oh, there are some rolling hills. There are some tingling fingers. Stuff drips in darkness.
The voice dripping with darkness.
So, So while you plugged your little prompt into ChatGPT 10 minutes before we recorded.
Jesus.
I've been doing this challenge. I'm making a video that will be up on this channel if it's not up already.
Yeah.
I'm trying another writer's routine where I unplug my modem. I put my modem and my phone in my car, drive a mile away, walk back to my place.
What is a modem? I've been meaning to ask this. You've talked to me about this like three times.
It's like what you plug in and it gives you internet.
Oh, like the SIM card?
No, like for your house.
Oh, you're unplugging
the
Wi-Fi router thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I just didn't know what a modem was.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Every time you said it, I just thought that you were trying to say like mobile phone.
Oh, no. I unplugged the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Put that in my phone in my car. Right without internet for like 2 hours. And I spent a session working on this pitch.
Dang. So you worked really hard. Which is, you know what though? I'm glad I didn't work hard. Because Robert at full power, there's no way I could have, even if I really took my time, I can't be full power Robert.
It's funny. I'm looking at my pitch. The first sentence has the word traversing in it.
Hey, at least I admitted mine was written by AI. Robert's trying to make it sound like he worked hard.
So, you know, I think we're due for another great classic adventure movie.
I agree.
We haven't had like a truly great one since Lord of the Rings. Like a Lord of the Rings, Bo is Afraid type thing where you have a normal character when we take him on a sprawling journey, traversing over rolling hills and all
that.
And
what SD card is this?
Oh, that's yours. It was, or not yours. It was in the C200 and I replaced it with mine.
It's Asia's copy. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
All right. Okay. So, of course, I haven't grown up playing a lot of video games, but there are some video games that are just universal. And of course, I wanted to challenge myself to do one that doesn't have a lot of existing lore and add in my own. So nice. we could truly make the 21st century adventure movie that we need right now. So this, in classics hero journey type fashion.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's about a group of people, one hero among them.
Mm-hmm.
Their home gets destroyed, and they must travel on a long and arduous journey to find their new promised land.
I'm trying to think of what video game it is. No, I have no clue.
Okay. Would it help if I mentioned that the main characters are frogs?
Frogger?
We are doing the Frogger movie.
Oh, dude, I bet this is going to be really good. Not to interrupt your pitch.
Yeah.
I read a book in middle school called Toad Heaven.
Yeah.
And it was essentially frogs going on a hero's journey. So I'm super in. I'm super ready.
Yeah. Because again, what more iconic hero's journey video game do we have than Frogger?
The road, man.
Yes. A brave frog crossing an 8-lane highway.
Yeah.
So basically how we're going to play it is these frogs are living amongst man in a neighborhood. So, you know, they're in the sewers. They're at, they're in the sewers. They're in whatever little wet, damp spots kind of around the house that they could find around the drain or whatever. But this family whose house they are living around, they have a few frogs that they have captured and keep as pets. And so our main character, Frogger, lives as one of the pets in their little aquarium.
Nice.
He and the other frogs communicate through the window, but he never gets to truly talk to those frogs because he's stuck in the house with the humans. Now, there is an older frog that shares his aquarium. Right before this older frog passes away, he tells a story. He's told this story a lot, but there's this legend of this great land where all the frogs once lived, and it was flowing with water and vegetation and lily pads galore, and it was the perfect place for a frog before they tried to find another place and they ended up in human territory.
Dude, that's exactly the plot of that book I was talking about. They called it Frog Heaven.
Uh-huh.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, just wait then.
Oh, sorry.
So Frogger has heard this prophecy and is like, I need to find a way out of here. But then it turns out that there's a new development happening around this house. The humans are packing up to move out, and all of the nature around the house is being torn up, being bulldozed over so they can make more houses. And the frogs outside have nowhere to live. The older frog with the prophecy has died, and so Frogger is like, okay, I'm going to escape. And he has told me where I could find the map, so I will find the map, and I will take all the frogs to the promised land. And
oh,
so
heck yeah, dude.
He escapes the human house, and he gets together with all the frogs just as their last place where they lived is getting destroyed, and they all hop away. And he's like, hey, I know I've been in the house this whole time while you've been out here, and I don't know what life's been like out here, but I know what it's like in there, and I'm going to take you guys there. You've all heard this prophecy, and they don't believe in the prophecy at this point. They don't believe in the prophecy.
Dude, Frog Dune?
No, but close.
Very
close.
Frog Dune. I watch Frog Dune.
Yeah. So all these frogs don't believe the prophecy, but at this point, they don't really have any other choice. And this frog says that he could find a map. He knows all the frog runes and everything. And
frog runes.
Yeah. And the first step is to go that way. That's what the old guy said, is that it's north. And so they all hop north, and instantly they're met with this 8-16 lane or whatever highway, just whatever the biggest highway is. That's how many lanes are on this road. One interesting thing about the Frogger game is one lane goes this way, one lane goes that, and the other goes like that.
Yeah,
like, it's very staggered.
Weird.
That never made sense to me, but
I never realized that till right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just an aside. So, giant highway. Like, oh no, humans have really taken over everything. How do we know that our promised land still exists if the humans have taken over? And he's like, you just have to believe.
You have to have faith.
Yeah. This prophecy is of a land that no other creature other than frogs have ever touched, and it is probably still out there. And there is one frog that really doesn't trust him. And then there's a girl frog that he really has a crush on who is kind of with the other frog. So you got some good tension there.
Are you sure this isn't Frog Dune?
Well, okay. I'll go ahead. No, I'll wait for it.
Save it. Okay. I'm sorry for being a dick.
So anyway, our the frogs have all decided to hear Frogger out if he could get across the road. And so he's devising all these different ways to try to get across the road. He first just tries to make like one straight jump for it, just like run kamikaze style. And he almost gets killed that way.
Yikes.
He freezes as this like semi truck is coming, and he's like very closely down here, and he's watching the bottom of it go vroom, and then he hops back. And then he tries to come up with different strategies to get across. This is going to be a really cool sequence, because it's like all the typical video game strategies you would introduce in here.
But
I'm going to skip over to it and get the plot stuff. But
but you know, he's going left and right, back. I'm in.
Yeah, but our midpoint is where like he has the final plan. It's like, I think I know how to get across. He's gotten across himself, but I think I know how to stop all of the traffic. Like how could one frog stop all these 8-16 lanes of traffic and let all of us pass? And he has an idea. Because when he first almost got run over, he saw the underside of the car. He's like, I think I know what I could do. I think I could hop in and get inside a car through that. And he was owned by a teenager. He was taking driver lessons. And so he had like a book about cars or something. So he's like, he roughly knows how to operate. You know, being on the inside gave him some unique knowledge of humans. And so his plan is he's going to take this stick, and he's going to like get underneath a car and then hop up, like grapple hook with the stick. Take a bunch of other frogs with him, and like the five frogs are gonna drive the car and like slow it down and like try to stop traffic.
Oh yeah.
And that's essentially what they do. And he's like on the gear shift while two frogs are steering and frogs are braking and everything. And they're trying their best, and we really don't want to, like, if any kids have ever been a part of any car accidents, we're not trying to traumatize them or anything. So, like, a big deal is, like, they're really trying to, like, slow down the traffic without any wrecks or anything, but they managed to do it, and all of a sudden, this giant 16-lane highway, the cars have just been stopped. Like, they managed to, like, perfectly skid this car just the right slow amount that no one, like, runs into them. And all of a sudden, this giant river of cars has just kind of all subsided, and you see a line of, like, 20 frogs just hopping past, and all these drivers are, like, looking up, and they just, like, see the frogs. It's a big moment. And so we successfully crossed the road. Now, you typically think of Frogger as the game where a frog tries to cross the road, but there's two different levels to it. Because first the frog crosses the road, then there's a little median area, and then they have to cross the river. And the river,
it has logs.
It has logs. It has turtles. It has alligators.
Yeah,
I didn't know this about Frogger, but for a long time, Frogger was the game that had the most ways to die.
That's
because
fun.
You could get run over by a car, you get eaten by an alligator, you could fall into a river. I think the turtles maybe eat too or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds legit.
Yeah, yeah. And so, as you know, you were picking up on some Dune-isms. And the reason you're picking up on that is, you see, the best stories, the best adventure stories, they all go back to religion. It's all religious iconography that's been watered down. Exactly. So with my Wii Sports movie, I told a creation story. And this time around, I was like, hey, for an adventure movie where they go into a promised land,
it's Moses.
Our frog is going to be a Moses character.
And he parted the red highway.
He parts the road with his stick. And,
oh, man.
And instead of being born among the Egyptian enslavers, he was born among the humans and then went out to the frog world. And
isn't it crazy? I love the hero's journey.
Yeah.
I know it's been, like, it's probably overdone, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But this Dune being a big hit shows that there's still a lot of good to come from the hero's journey.
Yeah. Well, you see, I haven't even gotten all the way through because, you know, typically people think the Moses story stops there. He leads them out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the Israelites at the time thought the exact same thing. It's like, oh, we've been delivered from our oppressors. We're now free outside of that country. But then they're just in the desert.
Mm.
They don't realize that they have more journey to go before they get to the promised land. And at a certain point, everyone starts to lose faith. Now, of course, the frogs have just crossed the road, and they think they're safe, but they have no idea that there's this whole dangerous river that they also have to go. Because, you know, they up to this point, they've only been worried about humans. Humans have been the main people oppressing them. They couldn't even imagine that nature is also very cruel. And so they get up to this river, and it's like, this looks rough, but we're going to try to cross. And it's really hard. They almost lose a lot of frogs because fast waters, and then logs, and they're trying to hop on the logs. Yeah, there's a giant alligator. They've never seen an alligator before.
I think some should die.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The turtles look friendly, but then they start snapping too. And it's like,
they're like, yo, it's a frog with a shell on.
Yeah. So all the remaining turtle, or all the remaining frogs, you threw me off there. But yeah, it is a frog with its own house.
Yeah. Just
down there. Yeah.
We wouldn't be in this situation if we had a house.
Yeah. All the frogs that didn't die, they all go back to this median, the shore of this river.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, we have to turn back now. And the frog is like, no, I believe in the prophecy. And he sees some frog runes and he's like, I know there's gotta be a way. Our ancestors would have thought of this. So I'm gonna go off exploring a little and see if I could find our path across this river. And so he does so. And he's finding these runes and he manages to get led into this dark frog cave. And there's a really old frog there. This frog that's wise beyond its years, and it's telling all these stories, and it's essentially said that there is this path. If you if you look at the right frog room, there's been this path laid out where there's a tunnel underneath the river. But meanwhile,
the underground rail toad.
Yes.
Is that bad? Is that insensitive? I think it's funny. It's a pun.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, while Frogger is learning about the secret path where they could cross the river in less than a day, the antagonist frog is back, and he's like, okay. He believes in this crazy prophecy that's been passed down for years and years. This is just fairy tales, right? We need to make some pragmatic decisions here. Like, if we try to cross this river, a lot of us are going to die. And so I think we should turn back. I think we were better off when we were with the humans than we are right now, because at least like we had a little place to live and there was nothing actively trying to kill us. And so we're going to destroy all these frog runes so this frog doesn't try anything, and then we're going to outvote him and go back. And in a big show, he takes the stick and he starts hitting this rune. Meanwhile, Frogger is coming back, and little does he know that is like the key to get to the tunnel. Oh. And he ends up destroying it, and Frogger is furious. He's like, that was our way out. But the way he hits it, it like caves in the tunnel or whatever.
I understand. We'll figure it out.
It's like the Indiana Jones boulder in a way.
Yeah, it keeps them from going that
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Dang.
And so, you know, that's of course like your golden calf deal or whatever.
Yeah.
And the big flowing river is like how they had to walk around for another 40 years. But Frogger hasn't given up yet. He's not given up on the promised land. And they, through a lot of strategy and a lot of trial and error of him testing things out, he's like, okay, I think we've devised how we're going to get all the other frogs across. Because part of Frogger is with the river level, you get bonus points if you help another frog across. And so that's kind of our nod to this. But essentially, they come up with this plan where they're hopping on the logs, and then they realize they could hop on the turtle's backs, and the turtle won't eat them if they're on the back or whatever. And through a giant adventure, they lose maybe a few frogs. You know, the frogs that didn't pay attention and didn't want to follow the plan, like our antagonist frog or whatever. But they managed to get all the other frogs across. They get to the promised land. And that's the Frogger movie.
Dude, I think that was amazing.
Yeah.
I really like it. I just love a hero's journey.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah.
And I think I could see that definitely being like an animated movie.
Yeah.
You ever see the movie Over the Hedge?
I love Over the Hedge, yeah.
Similar.
It's about all my favorite animals, the raccoons and the possums and everything.
It's similar, you know, the humans taking up their land, so they go to try to find a place to live or whatever. I think you're cooking.
So guys, leave a comment letting us know which pitch you like the best. We tally up all the votes at the end of the season to see who is the Rival Pitches champion. Make sure to subscribe to our channel for more movie pitches written by humans.
Yeah, vote for who you like more down in the comments. If you're listening to this over the podcast version, you can go vote on our Instagram at Written By Pod. Make sure you follow us. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Do all the things. Thank you so much for watching this video.